from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate all the ones that's helping the choir out. You're a tremendous blessing to me, and you all are singing loud enough to hide all of my imperfections, so keep it up, amen. I always have a little pep rally with them, and I say, now you guys sing out, you know, so they don't hear me so much. And people are excited, and we're going to have a choir practice, Lord willing, in about 2 weeks. Not next Sunday, but hopefully the Sunday after that, we'll meet with the choir. And if you're thinking, well, I'd go up there, but there's not enough, you come up here, we'll make room. Amen. If I have to stand down here somewhere, we'll make room if you want to sing in the choir. Amen. All right, open your Bible tonight to 2 Samuel chapter number 21. 2 Samuel chapter number 21. I covet your prayers tonight. My sinuses is messed up too, and I'm dry as dust, man. 2 Samuel chapter number 21, verse number 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. My Father, as I bow in your presence, I ask now that you would anoint me to do what you've called me to do. I appreciate the time of study, the time of prayer, but my Father, unless you anoint me, there'll be no preaching done. You're the true vine. I must abide in you. Hide me behind the cross, my Father, and uplift the blessed blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In doing that, I'll be very pleased. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just read one verse from 2 Samuel chapter number 21, verse number 15. And I want to call your attention to four words that you find in there. And to me, it's very sad words. And it says, and David waxed faint. The name David means beloved. And you know, I don't know if everybody's like me. I know I'm a little weird. But I read these Bible characters and I study their life. And after so many years, I feel like I know them personally. Somebody will mention David and I say, oh yeah, David. Yeah, I know David. Or they'll mention Jeremiah. And I say, oh, Jeremiah, I spent a whole summer with him one time. You know, some people will look at you like, you know, really? But this book is alive. And if you'll open up your heart, it will come in and it'll feed you. And so I love David, man. I feel like I know him personally. And it bothered me when I read these words many years ago where it said, and David waxed faint. That hurt my heart. I thought, no, I can't be. Not my David, not the lion killer, the bear. Oh, no, David can't go wax. He can't get weak. He's got to stay strong. But after 40 years of ruling over Israel, 7 in Hebron, over the house of Judah, 33 years in Jerusalem, over both houses, David had had many, many battles through the years. He'd been on the battlefield many, many, many times. And he's not a young man anymore. And the Bible said, and this would be his last trip to the battlefield. And David waxed faint. And we follow the life of David beginning in 1 Samuel 16. Talks about the fact that Saul was rejected and that Samuel anointed a little shepherd boy by the name of David to be the next king of Israel. And they believe that David was somewhere between the age of 13 and 16. We know he's a teenager. Just a young shepherd boy anointed from the horn of Samuel to become the next king of Israel. It would be a 15 to 20 years before David actually sat down on the throne, but he was anointed in 1 Kings 16. So we read about it. The eighth son of Jesse. 8 in the Bible is a number of a new beginning. And so here we got the little eighth son of Jesse that's been anointed. And see, I followed that and I thought, man, that's just awesome. So I followed, I chronicled the life of David. Then when you get to 2 Samuel chapter number 11, you find the dark days of David. He committed sin with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed And if you know your Bible, you know that there was nothing but chaos throughout his household. He had sibling rising against sibling, killing each other. And I'm telling you, man, David's world just came crashing in. And I remember sitting in my study when David got word of Absalom's death. And David wept. He said, "Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee." Man, I could feel that hurt in David's heart. And I sat there in my study and I wept with David. I could see his heart and how his heart ached and yearned for the fact that Absalom died in rebellion. My. If you want to see what kind of man David is, yeah, he messed up, preacher. Sure he did. Absolutely. I guess you never have. David messed up, but you keep this in mind. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, he's called a man after God's own heart. And here's part of the reason why. You find the heart of David when you come to the 51st Psalm. David starts crying out. Man, he starts crying out as a man whose heart is about broken. And he said, "Oh God, forgive me. Have mercy on me, O Lord." He said, "My sin is ever before me. I see my transgressions." He said, "Wash me, purge me, my, that I may be whiter than snow." Amen. David stays on his face before God until he gets those sins covered, man, and he can once again fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to our text tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we find that David is on the battlefield for the last time. He's not a young man anymore. When he defeated Goliath, you know, that's one of the first things we probably heard about as kids in Sunday school, was David, little David and his sling. And when he defeated Goliath, he was just a teenager, just a young strapping teenager. And I want you to make note of this. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, it says he went down to the brook and he got five smooth stones. How many of you remember that? He picked out five smooth stones. And I heard a quote-unquote Bible teacher one time say, "See, even David had a lapse in his faith. He got five stones. He only needed one. I guess he got five in case he missed the first time." And I just shook my head and I said, "Lord, have mercy on his ignorance." My. We're about to find out why he picked out five. Amen. He was ready to do business at 16. But they waited some 55 years till David became an old man. And you keep this. See, for some reason, I heard the family of Goliath, they never kind of got over that thing about the fact that a teenager whooped their champion. That became a little bit of a touchy situation. Here's this young teenager that beat the champion of the Philistines. You think they forgot about that? No. But they wait. Some 55 years has passed, and David is in his 70s now, and he's ruled Israel. He's ruled Israel as a warrior king for 40 years. And wouldn't you think by now David could sit back after ruling for 40 years and sit comfortably upon his throne, look out over his kingdom, and enjoy what they call the golden years? Whoever come up with that, man, I'd like to see them face to face. I would, boy, I'm telling you. Whoever come up with that, my. They must have been doing them wild mushrooms or smoking something. You know, I don't know where that came from. The golden years. My. Well, they've not hit our house yet. I don't know if they've hit yours or not. But after 40 years, I want you to see David tonight. We watched him grow up in this Bible. We watched him grow up right in front of our eyes. We watched him wax strong in the Lord. You remember when he told Saul, he said, I'll take care of that uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul said, "Dude, you're just a little boy. You're just a youth. I mean, that fellow out there, they'll tear you in pieces and feed you to the fowl of the air." And I can hear David say, "I may be young, but I got a shepherd's heart." That's right. And a shepherd will go out and he'll face the enemy to keep it from getting to his sheep. Amen. That's the difference in a shepherd and a hireling. Amen. And so David went out. He told Saul, he said, "Hey, there was a time when a lion came in, grabbed up one of my little yearlings
and run off with it. He said, I run him down and I whooped him with my own bare hands. There was another time, Saul, when a bear came in and got one of my little sheep. I run him down and give him a little bit of the same. And now Saul's kind of looking at David in a different eye. And he said, I can hear him say, go get him, boy. And David faced Goliath. He said, you come to me with a staff and a sword. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. We watched him. We watched him grow up. And now we come to the text. I mean, 40 years of reigning in Israel, and he's still not seated comfortably. Don't you think David needs a break? You imagine reigning and ruling over people for 40 years? Yeah. And now you're not a young man anymore. You're in your 70s. And there you're still, and you find yourself on the battlefield. Instead of being seated comfortably on your throne, reigning and ruling, you're on the battlefield again. Oh man, I don't sound right. I mean, there's something just not right with that. But here's the thing about it. Remember, he picked up 5 smooth stones? Well, if you read this chapter when you get home, I didn't read it for a second time. If you read it, you'll find Goliath's other kinfolks. He had 3 sons and a brother. How many does that make? I went to PAL, so don't ask me. He had 3 sons and a brother. Don't that come up to 4? Say, he picked out a stone for all of them back in 1 Samuel 17. Man, he was ready when he was a teenager to wipe out the whole family if they didn't get the message from taking down Goliath. And so he's on the battlefield. He's fighting. Should be at home. But he's still on the battlefield because he had a shepherd's heart. Still on the battlefield. And the Bible said at one point, David is knocked down. And he's rendered helpless. And there lays David, man. The greatest king that ever ruled over Israel, and he will be until the King of Kings sits down on the throne of David. And there he is, rendered helpless. Can you not see one of the sons of the giant standing over David with a spear? He's got David exactly where he wants him. He's tired. He's battle fatigued. And he's got him on the battlefield, ready to thrust him through and take his life. And David's helpless. And all of a sudden, I got to see what I'm preaching. The Lord knows it. He has to paint me a picture. I see that giant, son of the giant, start to stagger and lose his footing. Thud! He falls right down in front of David dead. Out steps little Abishai. Gouged him a good one, didn't Uncle David? Got him right out of the 5th rib, just like you told me. Yes, sir. Uncle David, you're getting too old for this. You ain't got no business out here. They said it, and Samuel, David, you're worth more than 10,000 of us. And he said, Uncle David, no more. No more. You fought your last battle. I got to get you off of this battlefield. You might want to write this down. Lord started giving me this. Man, I had a series of mini spells. I think I turned over some furniture. Abishai means gift of God. That's what his name means in Hebrew. Abishai come to David's defense and killed one of the sons of the giant. And he's starting to take Uncle David off of this battlefield because this is his last battle. Man, you look through that thing, and in verse 18, Sebachiah, his name means, I'm about to have a spell. Now, if I take off running, run out the doors and run around church time too. Some of you, I'm scaring you to death because you won't even look at me. And you think that's going to shut me down? I've been at this a while. I've had them throw songbooks at me. Amen. I have, brother. I had them open the back door up one night and let a bunch of dogs in the church while I was preaching, Brother Roger. And I'm up there preaching. These dogs is running back and forth. I never missed a lick. Amen. Man, it's hard to deal with a seasoned preacher. Amen. I've had them count the tiles and say, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Anything except zero in on the man of God and open your heart to the truth.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You find in verse 18, Sebachiah. His name means God intervenes. And he takes care of son number 2. Then in verse number 19, Elhanan shows up on the battlefield. His name means grace of God. I'm about to shout. And he takes care of the brother of Goliath. Now you've got to see this, because you've been counting how many's left. One. Got one left, don't we? And so I still see Abishai helping Uncle David off of the battlefield, trying to get him to safety. And all of a sudden, this fella steps out that's got six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. I believe I pastored. No, he was a deacon I had down at First Church that I pastored. He steps out and says, "Where you going, boys? Where you going? This is the last one. Abishai, David's injured." All of a sudden, guess what happens if you know your Bible? He starts staggering around, and he hits the deck, dead. Little Jonathan steps out from behind him, wipes the sword off his blood, the blood off of his sword. And, "Hey, Uncle David, Cousin Abishai, Uncle David, we got to get you out of here. Jonathan's name means God hath given." Now I want to show you something. David was the anointed of the Lord. Amen? Did Samuel not anoint David? Amen. Let me tell you how dangerous it is to come against God's anointed. When you try to come against God's anointed, Abishai is going to show up. Every time, that's the gift of God. Abishai is going to show up. God intervenes is going to show up. Amen. Elhanan's going to show up. That's the grace of God. And then Jonathan's going to show up. That means God is given. If you break their names down, this is what happens. If you try to come against God's anointed, let me read their names. God intervenes. The gift of grace is given. Woo! Man, that's almost enough to make a dry-eyed Baptist shout. Amen. Are you kidding me? Man, I'd rather jerk on Superman's cape than come against God's anointed. Amen? You just don't do that. That's not something you want to do. If it's God's anointing, you better keep hands off. If you come against God's anointed, Abishai's going to show up. He's got a sword, too. Sebachai's going to show up. Elhanan's going to show up. And Jonathan's going to show up. Amen. I ain't going to mess with God's anointed. No, sir. I like life too much. Been some time back. You get my age, you lose track of time. I'll be telling somebody something, and Shannon will say, "Honey, you realize that was 15 years ago." "Really? I didn't know it was that long ago." It's been some time back that I was asked to come to Bible Way Baptist Church in Milton, Florida, to preach for Brother Bill Wright. These people here that remembers Brother Bill. And they was having his 20-something anniversary. And Brother Bill called me and he said, "I want you to come and preach that special service for my anniversary." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Come a couple days early if you can so we can fellowship." And I did. Got down there. Man, we had a time sitting around talking about the old days and reminiscing about so many good services we'd been in together. And then I found out there was some more people from the area that made that trip down there for that celebration of his anniversary at the church. And so, man, I mean, we just had a tremendous time of fellowship down there. I mean, it's just, it was awesome. And the night before, the service was going to be the next Sunday, somebody said, "I wish you'd quit telling stories and preach. Are you going to be able to handle it when I start?" It was an outside venue. And I was tired, man. I was ready to go to the house. And everybody was sitting around, and they got the chairs first, because this is outside down there. And there was a chair there, and it's like they sit real low to the ground. People keep them around their pool. You know, they'll open up, you can lay flat on them, or you can bring this, but they sit real low to the ground. And I thought, man, I got to sit down somewhere. And I watched Bill walk over, and he sat in one of them. I thought, oh no. I thought, well, he's man enough to do it. I'll get this other one. And I plopped down in that thing. And they talked for a while. And they sung for a while. And And I kind of got a message to Bill. Hey, you know, call the dogs off, man. The hunt's over. I got to get some rest if I'm going to preach in the morning. So they finally wound it up. And as they wound it up, it hit me. I couldn't get out of that thing. I'm being honest with you. I could not. It was too low to the ground, man. My knees were gone. My back's gone. And I thought, this is going to be embarrassing. I couldn't get out, Roger. I could not get out of that thing. And I thought, okay, Lord, my anxiety was getting up. And I was worried about it. And I thought, you know, here they're going to see the visiting evangelist flop out of this thing, flop around on the ground like a fish out of water. And there goes all my dignity. They're not going to listen to me when I stand up to preach. And I tell you, it started to settle in. And without anybody saying anything, this big strapping young man walked over. Didn't say a word. He just reached down and he locked into my hand. And he had the strength. He just lifted me up out of that chair. Man. He did, preacher. You say, who was that? That was my Abishai. That was Greg Duncan, Brother Tom. Sister Kay. Greg Duncan. Didn't say a word, brother. He saw me struggling. He didn't want to see me flop out of that chair and make a fool out of myself. He just walked over, didn't say a word. He put that massive hand down and I got it, and he just lifted me up out of it. Man, I'm free. And I looked over at Bill and I thought, he's in big trouble. If you know Bill Wright, you understand that. And then all of a sudden, here come two Jonathans. They didn't make a big deal about it. Here comes Scott Hooks and Chris Hubs. It took two Jonathans to get Bill up. One Abishai got me. It took two Jonathans for Bill. But they hooked on to Brother Wright, and they got him up out of that chair. And I got to the motel that night. I was trying to sleep. Man, it hit me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I hadn't seen Greg in a long, long time, but see, I made an investment in Greg's life many, many years ago. I made an investment in Scott Hooks and Chris Hubs many, many years ago. Many years ago. Many, many years ago. So did Sister Lawson. She helped me go on camping trips. Boy, that was a hoot, wasn't it, sis? Vivian McFall, she's still here working with kids. She still has a burden to help kids. I do too. Just ain't got the strength anymore. But I thought, oh my goodness. Look how this thing's come full circle. My goodness, we took them fishing, didn't we, Uncle Tom? Yeah. Yeah, we took them out there and let them ski. I took them horseback riding, took them on camping trips. I took them on lock-ins here up at the other building, took them on a lot of pull-your-hair-out trips. Hey, man, they'd try my patience, man. But I loved them. I prayed for them. If I found out they was even thinking about doing something bad, one of the girls would tell on them. They would, I'm telling you. One of the girls would come up, Brother Barry, they're getting ready to do this and this and this and this. They, man, they drop a dime on them. And then when I teach Sunday school, for some reason, Lord would just give me a Sunday school lesson that would deal exactly with what them boys was getting ready to do. I had an investment in them. Look how the Lord worked. Pam, you was in that group too. After all those years, there I am, man. Just an old man now. Worn out knees, back gone. Don't try me though. I've walked over men bigger than you to get to a fight. Man, I was helpless. He didn't embarrass me. He just walked over there. I was laying in a motel that night trying to sleep, and I had a series of many spells. I said, thank you, Lord. All those years, all those prayers that was invested in Abishai and both the Jonathans, it paid off tonight. You used them tonight to help two old broken down preachers. My, what a, if you can't see that picture, I'm sorry. But the Lord sent me an Abishai when I needed him. Amen. And sent Bill to Jonathan's when he needed him. I want to say this tonight. We need some Abishais. And we need some Jonathans. But let me tell you something about Abishai and about Jonathan. They didn't have any designs on the throne when they helped David. They didn't have any agenda. They didn't have a self-serving agenda. They just had a burden to help God's anointed. Amen, preacher. That's what we need. We need some Abishais and Jonathans that have no other motive but just to help the man of God. Amen. You think God won't bless that? You better know he will. He'll bless it. Man, you could use a couple Abishais, couldn't we, Roger? Yeah. Seen Roger yesterday trying to take his chiller killers off. He's standing there 1 minute, next minute he disappears. And Roger, right, he's laying on the ground over there. Lost his balance, and you're not allowed to tell nothing on me. But I thought, man, we're getting old. We're getting up in years. We can use some Jonathans. Jonathans and Abishais are welcome. Amen. Absalom's not. No. No, he tried to usurp the authority over his father David. But I'm talking about young men that has a respect in the heart for God's anointed. And they want to come along beside and say, let me help you on this battlefield. Let me pray for you. Let me give you a helping hand. I don't have an agenda. I just want to help. I just want to be a help to God's man. You think God won't bless you? You kidding me? My. It's what we need. I'm basically through. You know when a preacher closes his Bible, he cannot preach anymore, right? You know, when Mike was a little feller and I'd tell people where I pastored, I'd say, I'm just about through. Somebody asked Mike one time, because he said, what does that mean, Mike? And he said, nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But if you read the rest of the chapter, do it when you get home. There's a blessing there. You're going to find out this thing don't end on the battlefield. Because we're on the battlefield tonight. And a spiritual battlefield is one of the hardest. It doesn't end on the battlefield. When David got home, he sat down and wrote a song of deliverance. So this thing don't end on the battlefield. It ends at home singing a song. Amen. Amen. Heaven's already tuning their instruments. They're starting to fill up the choir. Amen. This battle's just about over. I asked the Lord some time back. I did. God hears me. I said, give me one more good run. Give me one more good run before you call me home. Yeah, that's all I want. That's the only agenda I got. I want to be found faithful when he comes. That's it. I don't want to be set. I want to be swinging a sword. Amen. I want to be lifting his name up. I want to be supporting God's anointed. Amen. That's what I want to be found doing. If you got a problem with that, you got a problem. I said, if you got a problem with that, you've got a big problem. Don't lift your hand against God's anointed. If you do, you're going to always be looking behind you for an Abishai. Amen. Or a Jonathan. Amen. My Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of the blessed, precious, righteous, inerrant, holy word of the living God. If you've ever spoke to my heart, Lord, in 43 years in the ministry, if you've ever spoke to my heart about a message, you wore me out with this. I had no idea at the time, but you wore me out with it. And you gave me liberty tonight to preach it. And I preached straight from my heart, Lord, and I gave out exactly what you gave me and nothing else. And I appreciate it in Jesus' name. Brother Andy's going to play softly for us tonight. And as he plays, you feel a need to come.